I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by...
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
Central DuPage Hospital.
And your Northwestern Hospital
member. Call Dr. Moe right now.
Morning, Doc. How was Thanksgiving?
It was great, Steve. I know I caught a little bit of hell for ruining green bean casserole for a lot of people. And I didn't realize my daughter Callie told me, hey, you didn't talk about Jell-O shots. I didn't realize that Jell-O shots are now a tradition with the millennials for Thanksgiving. So,
you sure that's not some sort of scam to try to get you to sign on to Jell-O shots being a tradition?
Yeah, that could be. So I had to add it to next year's, yep.
All right, let me jump in here because you and I were going to talk about this, a while ago. Cigarette advertising. Now, you may think, yep. Steve, why are you talking about cigarette advertising? Well, it's pertinent to the larger discussion, but cigarette advertising was made illegal on television and radio. It feels like back in the 70s, wasn't it?
Exactly, 1970, and it actually went into place January of 71, so yep.
But print advertising still okay?
No, even some print advertising on local in-store is okay.
And billboards.
Yeah, and billboards, exactly. Right. Billboards, some billboards, some states are no, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
All right, so where do we stand on this, and what do we know statistically about what it does or doesn't do?
Well, it's interesting. If anybody read the paper yesterday or saw television, primetime television yesterday, you saw some ads that looked a little unusual. And what happened was decades ago, we were being told that cigarettes were safe and don't worry about it. And then a lot of studies came out and we proved that that was totally false and we had been misled. So the federal government said, you have to write this. And they've been arguing for the last 11 years how they were going to get the true message across. And that actually just started this weekend. So people are going to see these kind of unusual ads for the next year. Based on this federal decision that the smoking companies must tell us now about how bad cigarettes are.
And are these separate from the big pharma ads that have smoking cessation products out there?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you see some of the ads like from the CDC where they show somebody who's struggled with cancer, or they show a fetus and what smoking will do to a fetus. And, you know, those are very dramatic ads. The ones that you're going to see from the federal or from the tobacco company are very bland. Single page, blocked letters, nope, you know, just very simple fonts, bullet points. They obviously, over the last 11 years, have argued to a point of what's the minimal we can do to fill this requirement and educate the population.
And this all relates to the tobacco company. Is it Altria?
Yeah, Altria and Lorillard, which is Philip Morris, R.J. Reynolds, you know, it's all the big tobacco companies now essentially just belong to a couple. And unfortunately, the goal for this was to try to stop young kids from starting to smoke. And it obviously is not going to work.
Well, statistically, do we know kids are smoking more, less, or the same?
Well, they're smoking less. There's actually less smoking going on across the country. But 9 out of 10 kids are going to start smoking before the age of 18. So these ads are being placed in the wrong place. They're not being put on Hulu. They're not putting, yeah. You know, Netflix.
Kids aren't going to see them. Place.
Exactly. Do you tell me a kid who reads a newspaper now,
yeah,
and you tell me a kid who watches network TV in prime time?
No. You watch it when you want to watch it, and if they can skip through the commercials, they do.
Right. So it's still the leading cause of death. 200,000 people a year are diagnosed with lung cancer, and you know about 150,000 die every year because we're catching up with all those baby boomers who were being told that smoking was safe.
This comes down to the same thing always, right? Better parenting. Parenting, teaching kids not to smoke, getting off the stuff yourself. And granted, I've never smoked, but I certainly know and love people who have and how difficult it is to quit. But you got to quit and you got to set an example for your kids and you got to keep them from doing it.
You said it well. But, you know, anybody who's smoking who has children really stop smoking. Those are the kids that are going to smoke because they're seeing you smoke. And trying to get that across to kids is probably very important. And it is a parenting skill. Just because you're doing something that's harming your body that you can't get off of, tell your kids how addicting it is and tell them, how many people die from this.
Tell them how miserable you are. Right. Tell them how much you want to quit.
We all know people who used to smoke and have quit. If people, you know, and now people who are, say, our age are saying, gosh, I wish I would have never started smoking. Could the effects still be harmful all these years later, even if you say quit 10, 15 years ago, maybe longer?
Yeah, you'll see your risk of lung cancer go up after you hit about what we call 30 pack years. So you hit that point and your chance of lung cancer goes up. The damage that's being done to lungs is not something where you can stop and the damage gets repaired. Some of your lung will clear up definitely after you stop smoking. But if you're a heavy smoker, some of the damage, like from emphysema and things like that, are not going to be repaired. However, the sooner you quit smoking, the better your chance you have for healthy lungs going in the future, obviously.
We'll come back. I want to talk about the Affordable Care Act and where we are with the enrollment period for most folks wrapping up in a few days, if it hasn't wrapped for you already. And what do we do going forward? What do you guys do as a major hospital? How do you plan for the future? All that in a moment. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. All right, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The president would like us to think it's dead. There's no hope in saving it. But people have one insurance plan, and it's the ACA. It's not dead, is it?
It's not dead. And everyone needs to understand that it's not dead. And the tough thing is that we're getting so many mixed messages coming out of Washington. And couple that with, when you remember when the Affordable Care Act first came out, there was a lot of advertising about it. There was, you know, informing people about it. And you saw ads all the time. They cut their advertising from $100 million down to $10 million.
That was a Trump move to try to facilitate the end.
Yeah, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, that's
well, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it's a Trump administration move anyway.
Yeah.
This is my words, not yours.
Right. And you have to also realize that we used to have people, because insurance is so confusing. Everybody is confused. So we had people called navigators that would help you pick the right plan, do all that. Well, those navigators were also slashed by 40%.
So what that means is less people exposed to the idea, whether it's a reminder or, you know, a key that we have to do it now, which means just knowing how we know human nature, less people are going to sign up. What happens to them?
Yeah, you miss the sign-up period, you're out. So, you know, you're paying the tax at tax time, the penalty, but you're out. So the other thing that's weird, Steve, is we used to have 3 months, and this year we only have 45 days. And you layer it right on top of when Medicare is, and I'll tell you, people are going to be confused. Medicare open enrollment closes December 7th. Everyone, seniors, need to know that. If you need to re-up or if you need to change your plan, the December 15th date everyone's talking about is not for seniors. The December 15th is the Affordable Care Act. And so, it was shortened from 3 months to 45 days this year.
So, obviously, you've got just a few days to do it. You shouldn't put it off by doing it. But, again, I come back to the thing I've asked you many times, and I don't know if the answer's changed. I don't know how you plan. You're in the health business at the highest level, one of the most important hospital systems in the country. How do you plan for the future, not knowing what health care insurance is going to look like next year?
Yeah, and it's difficult to do. It's difficult to plan when you start to say, okay, what are we going to replace this year? What needs to be replaced? Where are we going to grow? Because, like you said, the budgets for all these hospitals are very difficult. You know, and I'll tell you, we're very fortunate. We're a successful health system. There are others that are, you know, living dollar to dollar and are going to have some very tough times. It's not unusual now. I get Becker's every morning, and it tells us, you know, another hospital closed here, another hospital closed here. So, you know, very concerning from the hospital side of it as well.
All right. So if the marketplace insurance is for people who don't get benefits from their employer or don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, how is that different?
Well, the people that don't qualify for the, you know, with your employer, they might have an employment. Their employer says that we're not going to provide any health care benefits. You have to go to the marketplace to buy it. The other individuals who are Medicaid, they have their own. And then the gap people who make enough but still fall under federal poverty level, they're going to get a subsidy. And that subsidy hopefully will carry them over to a point where they still can afford insurance. The difficult thing is we're seeing these increases in the premiums. So even when you increase the premium and you're getting a percentage off, there's still more money coming out of your pocket. And these are patients and families that live paycheck to paycheck.
Say hi to Doc.
Doc, last time we talked about this, you said it was even hard for the doctors and the hospitals and the organizations to answer a lot of these questions, basically just because we don't know yet where we're going to fall into these categories. Is that still the case? Has anything become a little bit more clear now, or is it just completely muddled like before?
Well, it's a great question. It's a very interesting question because in some places, like here in Illinois, we have three to choose from, and in Cook County, there's actually four to choose from. But you take 39 states, one half of the people in 39 states don't have a choice. There's only one plan being offered. In the state of Iowa, there's only one single plan being offered. So it's not like you have a choice anymore. It's not like I have to figure out which one I want. You just have to go and sign up because you don't have a choice. You see where you fall in the federal poverty level, and now you know what your premium is going to be. Before you said, is my doctor in the plan? Oh, he's in this other plan. That's gone for a big portion of the country.
You know, it's easy to demonize the insurance companies here and make them the bad guys. And certainly every business, hospitals, radio stations, insurance companies could all be done better and should often, you know, always strive to improve. But the insurance companies, as a for-profit model, have to try to figure out their future as well and whether or not they're going to have young people sign up or not, whether or not there's going to be a fine or not. And what we know, Doc, is that you need young, healthy people to sign up to pay for the older, sick people. So what's the upshot here for you?
Yeah, then that is the concern. If those young, healthies, so, you know, if you've been watching the news at all, it says, oh, enrollment is up when compared to last year. Enrollment is up for the first 3 weeks. But they also have to realize that the number of days is shortened by half. So enrollment's really not up. Enrollment is down. And a lot of these millennials waited till the end. So you're hopefully that they at least are informed that the 15th is the end now and not in January sometime when it used to be. But for those individuals, those are the ones that are concerned because now they will be without insurance. They won't get the screening that we need to identify diseases early. They're going to show up in emergency rooms. And it's going to, again, now make the ripple effect is premiums will go up next year as well. So we're in a very difficult position right now with this.
Right. So what should people do? When you talk about going into 2018 and 2018 and the entire House turning over and key Senate seats, what do you want people to say to their reps, wherever they're listening around the country?
Yeah, you know, are we going to end up going to a single payer? Is this going to end up being a Medicare on steroids or a Medicaid on steroids and the government's going to run them all? We certainly, at least in my opinion, we don't want that. We still want insurance companies to be running some of this. So really look at your area and look to see what's being offered in your area and tell your congressman, tell your senators that you want choice. And in order to have choice, you have to make sure that we get enough people enrolled. So pushing for enrollment, making it easier to enroll, making sure that people know about it. So cutting advertising and cutting navigators is not the way to do this.
The cost of the insurance business is much less than the cost of running into these emergency rooms, as you said, because it jacks up everything. But the one thing I continue to hear from a cost perspective from people, and certainly I saw this myself just a couple weeks ago when I went through the sign-up process again, is co-pays and deductibles. So you anticipate anything changing there?
No, I think you're going to start to see more and more people go to that high deductible. You know, it's going to keep their premium a little bit lower, but they're also going to be at more risk. So those young, healthy people, they may go to those lower bronze plans just to pay the least amount, although many are saying go to silver. It makes the most sense. And you're starting to see even people in their company businesses with as they're taking insurance, we have more and more people going to high deductible saying, you know what, I'm gonna roll the dice, I'm gonna get covered for, you know, my major stuff, but I'm willing to take a $5,000-$10,000 deductible.
I don't know who's writing these websites either. When you look at these plans, you know, if you consider yourself a fairly intelligent individual, look at these plans and the way they're laid out. You'll feel stupid in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you know what they all should be? They all should be written the people that write these, they should be written for, say if I was sitting down with my grandmother, mm-hmm. How would I explain this to my grandmother? And then write the website that way. Write the wording. Write the examples in the website that way.
Yeah, when you're sitting down with different people and you're all, you think you're all the same intelligence level looking at each other like, I don't get this at all.
No, that's crazy.
That's a problem.
Yeah. We try to write our discharge instructions at a fifth grade reading level.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fourth for me.
Hey, let me say one more thing, too, and I know you're late, but I'm just going to say it real quickly. You know, we're talking about cigarette smoking and youth. We really have to be concerned about this vaping. You know, that's big thing right now, because although they're not smoking and they're not smoking tobacco, they're still getting that nicotine. They're still getting hooked on that nicotine, and they will end up to be smokers. So that is something in industry I think we need to control and take a look at.
And the gum is bad, too? I mean, I know it's not as bad as the actual cigarette, but...
Yeah, you know, the gum is actually okay, because the gum is being used to help you quit along with other medications, and the patches, that's for the guy who wants to quit. The vaping is kids who want to get that nicotine high.
What about the nicotine bread and butter? Is that bad? What about the nicotine sandwich? Is that bad?
Right. That's going to be on the Thanksgiving meal next year.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Thanks for making us better, and we'll talk to you later.